So about 6 months deep for both of you, what happened?
All right. On April 23rd, I turned 28. And then on April 24th, Alex and I closed on not one, but two small businesses. And in the past 24 hours, we have made over $3,000 in only one of those businesses. So we are off to a hell of a fun start too.
What does this mean for you specifically in your world?
What it means for me is I'm doing something for myself for once. I've always been like, I'm going to be the good teammate. I'm going to be the good team player. I'm sprinting in the house, open my laptop, hop on the meeting, quit my job. And then I just looked around and I was like, wow, I'm done. I actually did it.
Welcome to the Action Academy Podcast.
Stand back while I celebrate freedom.
The show where we help you achieve financial independence with the mindsets, methods, and actionable steps from guests who've already earned their freedom.
The flags of freedom fly.
Choose to do what you want.
What you want.
With who you want.
With who you want.
When you want.
When you want.
With another episode today. Now, here's your host, Brian Lubin.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Action Academy Podcast, the show that helps you replace corporate with cash flow. Today's podcast is a very special one that is near and dear to my heart because I met the two guests on this podcast, one of them through a DM and another one through a reel that I posted, both about 6 months ago. And since that point, they both joined Action Academy. We walked them through the onboarding process. They thought that they wanted to do real estate, but ended up pivoting to small business acquisition. Once they decided on that asset class, they had mentors to walk them through the process. They had the education to learn it step by step. And more importantly, they found each other to partner with. Because prior to Action Academy, they didn't know anybody else that was investing in real estate, let alone small businesses. What happened next is they partnered up, they buckled down, they did what they had to do, and they went under contract on not one, but two small cash-flowing businesses, and they closed them both on the same exact day last Thursday. These two acquisitions on one day are literally going to get two people out of their corporate jobs, six-figure corporate jobs within 6 months. From listening to this podcast, 6 months of doing, of action. And the coolest part of all of this is we are capturing them directly after the closing table. They literally closed on Thursday. Friday, they're on the podcast. So we're getting to get Carly and Alex on their first day of business ownership. And what we're going to do on the Action Academy podcast live, we're also going to do a 6 month follow-up episode and a 12 month follow-up episode. So we can have this 3-part series of not only how did we just acquire this business, but 6 months later, holy crap, we didn't know what we didn't know. And here's how things are going. And here's how things are going. All the way up to 1 year from now, what worked, what didn't, and how was the experience? Was it easier than they thought? Was it harder? And what parts were which? In today's episode, we walk step by step through the acquisition process, through the negotiations, and all the way to the closing table. So if you guys like what you hear today and you want to be the next featured guest on the Action Academy podcast sharing your success story about how you quit your job through our community, go check out the Action Academy community in the show description. Click the link, book a call, check us out, and we will coach you for free for 15 minutes and see if it's a fit. So without any further ado, may I introduce you guys for the first time on a podcast to Carly Midas and Mr. Alex Comenza. Let's rock. Guys, welcome back to another episode of the Action Academy Pod. We got some absolute ballers in the building today. This podcast is a super special one, and we're going to post this immediately after. We got my boy Alex Comenca on the call and my girl Carly Midas. Both of them are the homies. Both of them just had some massive wins. So before we get going, I don't even want to say the wins. I'll let Alex and Carly introduce themselves. We'll start with Alex. We'll get to Carly, and then we'll share what the heck you guys just pulled off. So Alex, who the heck are you, brother?
I'm Alex Comenza. I'm originally from outside of Toledo, Ohio, and I moved to Nashville 7 years ago for a good old corporate job in staffing. And that's about as fun as it sounds. Staffing sales sucks. But I actually did that for the past 7 years. I'm now in Nashville, Tennessee. So joined Action Academy in end of September of last year.
Awesome. Sweet. And Carly?
My name is Carly Midas. I'm originally from Kansas. There's obviously no place like home. I went to college in Milwaukee, and then I got a medical sales job right out of college, which moved me down to Nashville. I currently still have that job, but I found Action Academy by sliding into Brian's DMs when his book got released saying, hey man, quite frankly, I make too much money and have enough free time on my hands to set up my future. That was, I think, right when your book got released. I think I got one of the pre-order copies. Yeah. And so that was mid-November. And as everybody will hear shortly, it obviously changed both of our lives.
I think I responded to an Instagram reel. I think that was how I found
you. Yeah. Yeah. And I have the DMs from Carly where it was just like, hey girl, what are you doing? She's, I've got a house. I'm investing in stocks. And I was like, wait, how much you make per year? She's like 200K plus. I was like, you can't invest in stocks to get out of your job in the next couple of years. Like, you got to get some real estate. And she's like, okay, what do I do? And then we hopped on a call and here we are. So guys, we're recording this Friday, April 26th. So about 6 months deep for both of you. What happened?
All right. On April 23rd, I turned 28. And then on April 24th, Alex and I closed on not one, but two small businesses. And in the past 24 hours, we have made over $3,000 in only one of those businesses. So we are off to a hell of a fun start too.
So Alex, walk us through, what are these two businesses and what does this mean for you specifically in your world?
I'll give a background of my aha moment. I actually just came into Action Academy thinking I was going to go into real estate. I didn't really know anything about real estate. I only owned my own personal house. And then I was on a call with Jordan Griffey and he was telling me what he does about businesses and the higher revenue. And I was like, that's it. That's how I quit my job faster, because I knew I wanted out in the next year. About these two deals, one is a home inspection company and one is an in-home healthcare company, full service. They do mobile x-rays, prescription delivery, mental health, everything. The home inspection company is basically fully automated. They're originally out of Knoxville, Tennessee, and we're going to scale it here to Nashville. But yeah, it was a crazy few months trying to close on the deals. I think closing on the deals is harder than finding, not harder, but more time consuming than actually learning how to do it and finding the deal. It's just lawyers and CPAs and brokers and sellers. It's a lot of stuff to go through. So it's been a hell of a ride, but I quit my job going on week 4 for me being out of corporate America. And so what it means for me is, dude, I'm just doing something for myself for once. A lot of my life, I've always been like, I'm going to be the good teammate. I'm going to be the good team player. I'm going to help other people and I'm always happy for other people's success. But with this, this is truly for me. I'm seeing the benefits of the work that I put in. I get to make changes in the business that I think are good. And everybody in corporate America knows this. The company makes changes and you're like, this is the stupidest thing ever. Even though you're at the middle bottom tier, you can see it clearly. Everybody knows. They're like, why the hell are we doing this? And now it's finally where I'm like, hey, like, I get to make the decisions. Like, it's my decision what we do with the company. And honestly, just more freedom, dude. Like, I get to do what I want.
How did it feel submitting your notice?
Awesome. So the funny story about that is me and Carly were driving. I had already booked the meeting to put in my notice. It was a Teams meeting. And me and Carly had a meeting in Knoxville with the seller of the home inspection company. I scheduled it for 5 p.m. our time. We hit a bunch of traffic and I had to postpone the meeting by 10 minutes. I'm sprinting in the house, open my laptop, hop on the meeting, quit my job. And then I just looked around and I was like, wow, I'm done. I actually did it. But
yeah.
Where's the mariachi band?
Really? Yeah. But it was amazing, dude. I've been with that company truly for 7 years and I am grateful for it. Me and Carly funded these things ourselves from our corporate jobs. So I am thankful for it. But yeah, leaving was just like complete weight off your shoulders. It's a different feeling.
That's insane. Before we go into, we'll section this out as what made you two gravitate towards each other for partnership and advice on that, the deal finding process, like how you guys went about that. And then we'll let Carly steal the show at the end with getting really into the nitty gritty of the numbers and the processes. But first, let's go over some high level numbers. So what multiple of revenue did you guys buy these businesses at? Did you buy at a multiple of gross, of top line, a multiple of SDE? Walk us through what multiples you bought them at.
Yeah. So for the home inspection business, we bought that for $925,000. and the owner took home about $380,000. That's on his tax return. So it was a little less than a 3x multiple. And what is more important in a small business acquisition a lot of times is the debt to service coverage ratio. And what that is basically the net income divided by how much you're going to pay in debt. We did a very standard SBA loan. Alex said we both put 10% down. So we both put about $45,000, $47,000 down. And then we had an $840,000 loan left. How that's based off of, or what that total comes to, is about $120,000 a year. So we're at almost a 3.0 DSCR, which is
insane.
Unfathomable. Yeah. If banks see a 1.5, they're like, holy crap, this is a good deal. And we're at like a 3.0. That's obviously very exciting. And that's without really any growth potential that they haven't captured, right? Like, we've been running this business for a couple of days now, and we've seen that we've had to turn down clients because we don't have enough people. So Alex is already sending out notices on Indeed and whatever, trying to hire more home inspectors because it's that profitable for us. That's just super exciting. Like I said earlier, in the last 24 hours, I think we've already had like $3,000 plus hit our bank account from profits of doing these home inspections. Mm-hmm. Really couldn't get off to a better start.
That's insane. And then what about the other one?
So the other one is essentially a franchise startup. I think Alex and I just saw way too much potential in the at-home healthcare space. If you think about it, our main targets are going to be like old person living facilities or senior living facilities, right? Say your grandpa or someone goes and breaks their wrist. It's a pain to have to order a concierge service to drive them to the hospital, take an x-ray, et cetera. What if you could have someone come to that senior living facility and do an x-ray right there? Saves them a lot of time, saves them a lot of pain and trouble and hassle and things like that. And COVID really jump-started that. I feel like a lot of people are now more willing to have at-home health care rather than go into these places. And honestly, it made people lazier. They don't want to get up and go. Who wants to go to a hospital or an outpatient imaging center? Nobody has a good time there, right? So if we can have people come to your home, we just saw that it was too good of an opportunity to pass up. And I think our favorite part of this deal is Alex and I both had to put $100,000 down. That's it. We're not in any debt for it. We own 40% of all profits in the whole state of Tennessee, not just Nashville, which is huge. So we can grow to Knoxville, Chattanooga, Memphis, those different areas. But also, we are getting paid $100,000 salary in year one. So we're getting our investment back in year one if we sell $0 for this startup franchise.
So 100% cash on cash, basically.
Yep. Yeah. If we sell nothing.
Okay, got it.
We also, one more little cherry on top is we got 500,000 shares of stock in the company, in their larger company. So when they sell the company in 5 years, which they have a plan to do that, and that's why they're growing, we're going to get a good amount of a good payout.
Okay, so there's so many different... This is like my favorite podcast episode ever. Okay, cool. So these are completely independent of each other, correct?
Correct,
yeah.
And you just happened to close on them on the same day.
Yes. Literally, that was not planned. That was not planned at all. Yeah.
So maybe we call it like the Action Academy double-double, because same thing happened with Mason, where he got a 12-unit and a 24-unit in two different states, two different sellers, same closing day. This is the second time this has happened. So now, if you just get one deal, you're a nerd. Like, you got to get two deals.
Guess so.
All right. So let's break down. So the other one is a franchise model. So we'll dissect that probably last. I'm really interested in going into the operational one that you guys bought at a multiple of revenue. Before we get into kind of like the sequential process, what I want to highlight is this. Alex, you said something that's really important. I did the math. And when I was making $250,000 in my sales job, I was bringing in $7.2 million of annual recurring revenue to the company. And so people that are listening to this are like, oh, I love my job. I'm making great money. Maybe I make $100,000 or $500,000 or $300,000. If you're making $500,000 a year, I promise you're making the company probably $10 million. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I sold for my W-2 in 2023 alone $100 million. and I made about $200,000. I definitely feel that pain.
Yeah. Right now, you guys got this business for $925,000. Business number one. So we're going to do some math right here live on the podcast because it's so interesting. This is like a perfect time to talk about like how net worth works and how equity works, because way one is save cash, right? Mm-hmm. Step one, I save cash, I have net worth, which honestly right now, a lot of my net worth is cash. And it sucks because when you sell your assets, your net worth actually drops because whatever you think your asset is worth, it's going to be worth less when it's in paper. But that's what you sacrifice for liquidity. So right now, you guys are 50-50 equity partners, or did you structure it a little different?
50-50.
Okay, cool. So you both got $462,000 of net worth of equity from that. Once you pay it off completely.
Yep. Yeah. And the business appraisal actually came in $60,000 higher, so $985,000. So we actually got $60,000 of free equity there.
And then what's the pay down? When should you guys have the debt service covered?
10 years. It's a 10 year at 8.99%.
Oh my God. So yeah. Like right now, that's $462,000 of unrealized equity. So when you guys increase $100,000 for every $100,000 that you add to the bottom line to that 380, you're increasing y'all's net worth by 2.5. You know what I mean? So for every $100,000 you add in net, then that's $250,000 towards the valuation of the business. And then when you increase the multiple, which you guys will through systems and processes, maybe you get that multiple up to a 3.5 or a 5x, then it's just like exponential. And you guys are both millionaires from the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane to think about, isn't it?
It is. I was about to say, I haven't even thought about that yet.
Yeah. And the good news, the way that y'all actually have a head start on me is like with my business, it's like we have a lot more like profit and a lot more revenue, but we don't have an enterprise value. So you guys have the benefit of having an enterprise value associated with your business because you guys bought it at that and it's a sellable asset from day one. So now the more that you increase the bottom line, you attach that revenue multiplier to that. And then that's where your equity position is going up. And that's where most people that are worth like 50 million plus is from stuff like that. So it's either a game of increasing your net revenue, like your net, or it's a game of increasing the multiple within what you sell. So it's a whole different game to play that's super fun. So let's walk through first and foremost, what attracted you guys to each other for partnership? Because in partnership, there's so many ways that you can do it wrong. And you guys both met in Action Academy like 6 months ago. So we'll start with Alex and we'll go into Carly. Like, what was y'all's thought process on, okay, this is somebody that I actually mess with. Not only can I be friends with this person, but I'm down to ride with them for the next 10 years. What was your thought process in this and advice for people that are listening?
Yeah. So I wouldn't say we honestly started it off right. Honestly, it wasn't like we analyzed each other, took the time to get to know each other. I think I reached out to Carly because I saw she joined and was in Nashville. And I was like, hey, let's go grab coffee or something. Let's meet up, because I was trying to meet everybody in Nashville at that point.
Yeah.
And we met up, and after we were talking, and I was like, Carly's straight up, she's cool. She seems like a super smart, driven person. I said, I was like, hey, I really do think I would want a partner in the stuff I'm doing. And I wasn't even saying that to be like, hey, be my partner. I was just talking about it as we were going through everything. Just because if you have two sets of eyes on everything, two opinions or different viewpoints, it really helps. And that has helped us a ton. So luckily it worked out, but we did just jump into it without whatever. But it really has worked out. And there's been points where Carly's, no, let's just sign it. Let's get it done. I want to move forward. And I'm like, no, Carly, there's some sketchy stuff this broker's doing right now. Like, we shouldn't sign.
Crazy.
I'm not, but I've done it in retrospect too. There's stuff where I'm like, I don't really care. Let's just do it. And Carly's balanced me out. So it goes back and forth.
Alex wanted to walk away from both of these deals.
There was a point where I was like, hey, I don't think this is right. Honestly, at first, the home healthcare company was not a good deal. They wanted us to pay $300,000 for only like the vaccine company. And I was like, yeah, this does not seem smart at all. But Carly stuck with it and kept building relationships with them. And then the deal changed a couple of times and now it's great.
For partnerships, it's really important for you guys. And this is why this is so much fun, because we're doing this like literally almost at the closing table. And then we'll redo this conversation in 6 months and we'll redo it in 12 months. So it's like your roles will define as you guys progress and you become more sophisticated. So Carly, right now, like what role are you playing in these businesses and what role is Alex playing in these businesses?
Yeah, I think so. I actually found both of the deals. And as I said on our call the other night, a freak in the Excel sheets. So I did both of the underwriting on everything and I'm an electrical engineer from school. So I like numbers. I like that stuff. Jordan did a great job of helping me learn how to do all of that. So I did a lot of the underwriting. And then since I found the deals and initially had reached out to the brokers and the sellers and stuff, I also owned those relationships. At first, Alex was doing a great job of keeping us up to speed with getting a CPA on board, a lawyer on board, filing for our LLC and everything like that while I was doing some of the networking. I think Alex and I as partners have really figured out how we gelled together in the last few months. This partnership is obviously new. And to Alex's point, we said yes right away. But I also don't think we thought that we would move as quickly as we did or find deals as quickly as we did. I think there's a lot of people that look for small businesses for long periods of time. And we just found too that we're like, oh my God, these are great. We need to move forward with both of them. Alex and I had some pretty hard conversations back in January, a month or two after we met. It was, I think both of us were going through some personal stuff and we just had to hash some stuff out, be like, hey, do we really want to do this? Because quite frankly, this partnership is almost more important than a marriage. Like it's our financial future. And I think we had hard conversations. Alex told me some of his frustrations with me and I vocalized some of my frustrations with him. And I think that really allowed us to have an open dialogue and communication with each other constantly. I think Alex can be like, hey, you need to relax, stop being so stressed out, so high strung. And then I can call Alex about anything. I think having some of those struggles and miscommunications at first has really helped us to where we are today, because those conversations obviously aren't easy, but I think we handled them really well and with grace. And that made us a lot closer and allowed us and our partnership to flourish now, because we know that we can say anything to each other and we want each other to be successful, obviously. So it's helped a lot of that.
Alex, anything you would add?
No, I would just say doing those hard conversations
first
gave us our lanes. Like we know what we, after that, we knew what our roles and responsibilities were. And we also knew what each other liked and didn't like after that. There were certain parts I didn't like. Honestly, I hate numbers. It was great that Carly knew how to underwrite stuff in 3 minutes where it took me 30 minutes. So once we had those difficult conversations, honestly, I wish they happened even sooner. Even though it was only 2 months after we agreed to partner, I think if it happened sooner, we would have even gone faster than we did. So I think just in partnerships, just having that clear communication and also knowing, almost like seeing what the other person's good at and matching that to know what you can take on because you like it. I think that'll just progress you so much faster.
And the reason that this is so important, I wanted to highlight all of this before we get into the numbers and stuff, is because the partnership, if there's two people doing the same thing, one of you is not needed and it will eventually happen. It's either going to be, it's going to be pretty, it's going to be smooth, but most likely it's going to be like messy. It's just what degree of messy is it going to be? So that's why it's super, super important to be like, hey, like when you're looking for partners, this is what I crush at. And this is what feels light for me. This is my zone of genius. This is your zone of genius. I don't gel with that, which is perfect. Like for me, if I had another business partner that loved talking and being in the limelight, it wouldn't work because like I need somebody like I don't want to look at sheets. Like I don't want to look at underwriting. I hate that. But if I'm talking to people, I freaking love it. Talk a lot about people waiting for inspiration, right? And people have inspiration and people have luck confused, like the process. People think that you walk around outside and you wait for this lightning bolt to hit you. And that lightning bolt is the best deal, the best idea, that partnership that falls into your lap. And that's where people get lucky. But luck is more so like fertilized soil. So it's just like making sure that the seed that gets planted, if a seed gets lucky and dropped into the soil, you need to make sure that the soil is fertile for the seed to sprout and to grow. And that's more so how inspiration and luck happens. So what I want to commend you guys for is like in Action Academy, like we have the strict processes for people coming in. And that's why we don't say yes to everybody. And everybody in there is cut from a certain cloth. So you guys were able to have your soil fertilized enough to where when you got these deals and they came across your desk, you not only had each other, but you had people like Jordan. Jordan's another person we've mentioned multiple times, Jordan Griffey. He's a childhood best friend of mine. Like, we went bowling together at birthday parties at 6 years old. He's like a ride or die. And he joined Action Academy and then he started buying businesses. And now he's able to serve as a mentor to you guys. Yep. And then you're wearing a shirt with Jack Sorensen, Sorensen Fitness, and he started his own company in Action Academy. So it's all about having the partnerships and the people around you to support whenever that lightning bolt hits. Because the deals came and then you guys were like, okay, we are ready to take this on. Whereas if that deal just comes out of nowhere, you're like, dude, I don't have the sources or the resources for me to actually do this thing. So let's talk about now, how did you guys find the deal? And what do you guys think that you did different or more efficiently than the person that maybe is taking a year or two to find a deal and they can't seem to find one? What do you guys think was different? I'll start with Carly because that was more so what you were networking for.
Yeah. So the home inspection one was on BizBuySell. So there are actually good businesses on BizBuySell. And then the other one was in a Facebook group that was like businesses for sale by owner on Facebook. Like, I always tell people, you'll find needles in a haystack in those. And honestly, I think what we did almost better than everybody, or why we found deals almost quicker, was a few things. Alex and I are both, we both come from sales. You come from sales too. And I think if you have a sales background, that gives you such an advantage, because networking is everything in life. Like you say, Brian, it's who, not how. If you know the right people, you're going to be given the correct opportunities, and it just helps you move a lot faster in life. Part of the reason why Alex and I joined Action Academy, because it's who, not how. You guys helped us accelerate into our business buying journey. But I think Alex and I had a fairly vague buy box. So it was basically, hey, we want the seller to be making about $350,000, $400,000. Didn't really care what industry. We wanted the company to be in Tennessee. But after that, we left it vague. I feel like some people, for their first business especially, go way too specific. It's like, hey, if you truly want to quit your W-2, get a cash flowing business that you will be able to figure out. It obviously can't be super technical if you're going to be the owner, but one where you can figure out how to run and manage the operations and it's cash flowing. I think people are like, oh, I need it to be in this industry because that's super successful, X, Y, or Z. While you're doing that, you're really limiting your options. So obviously, Alex and I found two very different businesses to buy, but they were both in our buy box and they both were too good of opportunities for us to pass up. So we just kept progressing. And like Alex said, there were obviously some speed bumps, but since Alex and I had good relationships with the brokers and the sellers, we were able to get over those hurdles much, much easier than other people because they trusted us. For the most part, we trusted them and was just able to move things faster along that way too. I think partnerships is accountability. Like, Alex every day was like, hey, Carly, did you finish this? And I could be like, hey, Alex, did you finish this? And so that helps move everything faster too, because it's not, oh, I need to open an LLC this week. It's no, Alex, you said you were going to open an LLC today. Did you do it? And I was going to reach out to X, Y, or Z. Hey, Carly, did you do that? And then it's way more fun winning together. Alex and I got to take selfies when we closed on two businesses together. And it's also a lot less scary losing when it's with someone else too. But yeah.
And then 100%.
Yeah. After that, like, once we were holding each other accountable for, give it, say, a month, like, we didn't even have to ask anymore. Everything was already done. Like, we would be just humming. If Carly asked me, hey, did you do that? I was like, oh yeah, I did that on Tuesday. Like, we're good.
Well, because you set the standard.
Exactly. And then on the only thing I have to add about like deal finding is, honestly, we were on every deal finding, every site. And it takes you, once you have it filtered on the sites, on top of the networking with brokers, we had a separate broker folder in our email where we saved every broker that we had ever contacted or whatever. But we just, you take 30 minutes, go through the sites of the new deals that popped up that day in your area, or what basically what your buy box is. And because you can filter it on those sites, it takes 30 minutes. Just do it, do that a day. And I think that's where a lot of people miss it. They're like, okay, I'll hop on BizBuySell on Friday and just see hopefully what I missed. And like, it's just a bunch of random stuff.
Too late.
Yeah.
And I think something that's really important that both of you said, and these are things that I learned like just this last year, like in 2023, there's two misconceptions and two main differences that are different between real estate and business. So for real estate, you see a low price and you associate with that with good deal. Oh, I can get this $500,000 property for $150,000. Like, I'm going to fix it up and make it better. Therefore, this is a good deal. So that's one thing. And then also in real estate, the more specific you are with your buy box, the better. If you are vague with your buy box in real estate, you're not getting a deal. When I was buying my co-living properties, I wanted the 1970s, the 1982, five bed, four bath, split level property in this zip code or this zip code with two kitchens and an in-law suite with separate entrances. Like, I knew what I wanted. And if you don't have that level of clarity with real estate, you're going to fail. But the opposite in both contexts apply to business, where if you buy a $150,000 business, that's going to be a shit business and you're buying yourself another job. So yep. What you guys crushed is that 380, like 350 to 450K SDE, which is seller discretionary earnings. You guys crushed that because that means that the owner is taking home enough money so that you guys can afford managers. Yep. You guys can afford salaries and you guys can afford to pay people. You have enough margin to do that. So that $925,000 price point was so much better for you guys to tackle than a $92,000 price point. It's a much better asset to own. And I also love what you said about being clear on your SDE, which is how much money you wanted to take home, but being vague with the rest. Because too many people are like, I want an HVAC company, and that's all they're looking for. But you don't know that this company over here does $1 million in EBITDA. Like, this company rocks. You just have no idea what it is yet, and you may crush it. So you guys did a really good job of that.
I think that only comes into play when, honestly, in an ideal scenario is you have HVAC experience. You've worked in HVAC for the last 8 years and you know how the company operates. Absolutely, I would be going and calling every HVAC company trying to buy them. That makes sense to have a specific buy box in that scenario.
But, yeah, and even in that, I'd still be a little open. But yeah, you're completely right. Like, I just talked to a guy that has 10 years in logistics. Cool. Let's try to do something adjacent to where we can take that trench level knowledge and apply it. Carly, when it came to broker relations, what did y'all do differently to differentiate yourself and build these relationships with brokers? And where do people get it wrong?
I feel like this is so simple because I've been in sales for ever since I've been out of college.
Same.
Have a high say-do ratio. So what does that mean? If you say you're going to do something, do it, right? If you say you're going to email over X, Y, or Z, just do it. And then I think response rate, right? Brokers are trying to close a deal. Our broker just made $100,000 off of this $925,000 deal. So he just wants to find the right buyer, close a deal, whatever. So if you can respond quickly and then prove to them that you have the brains to be able to run said business. Like I was saying earlier, I think sales, those skill sets are so transferable throughout a lot of industries. You understand how to cold call, you understand how to market, you understand how to sell, right? Those are some of the main things that small businesses need. So being able to portray your strengths as to this broker on how you can help the company still be successful, even though you don't have experience in an industry, I think is really helpful too. Alex and I were able to say, yeah, once again, I sold $100 million last year. So I was able to manage $100 million. Alex has staffed thousands of people, right? Hey, you need to hire people? Great. Have you met Alex Comensa? Oh, you have a lot of sales? Great. We're both salespeople. So being able to portray your skill sets to said broker and seller, because I think a lot of times these small business owners, they're almost worried to sell their business because it's their legacy. So they want to know that they're passing on, quote unquote, their legacy to someone that's going to care, that's going to run it, make it sustain success and things like that. So
confidence is key.
Yeah.
In a roundabout way, confidence is key. As long as you even act like you're talking about to a broker, like Carly said, they're in sales. They want to sell they want to get the profit. They want to sell the business. As long as you don't come on there acting like a complete noob, like on the call with them. And like Carly said, do what you say you're going to do. You're going to have a network with them.
Yeah,
exactly. And then if you guys don't have experience right now, what I do is I borrow experience from a partner.
Yep.
Or even a potential partner. Like when I was really close to buying a laundromat and I scrapped it at the last second because I was like, wait, I don't want to do this at all. And luckily that was the right decision because then we started Action Academy. But I literally was doing it with a business partner and I was just like, hey, we have done this. We own all these commercial properties, all these laundromats. He owned like 20 laundromats. I was just like, this is what we do. Like, we could take this down and we're looking to do this now. And then that's what gets it established. You can also borrow credibility from a potential partner. And I think that's huge. So Carly, let's go through some of the numbers. Let's stick on this one business, the $925,000 one, because that one is more like actionable for people to take, because the other one's more like business in a box. So let's hit on that. So walk through like the structure that was proposed and what it was at the beginning and like the numbers and how y'all negotiated this down. Walk us through some of the numbers.
So when we originally saw the business on BizBuySell, it was listed for $1.2 million. Honestly, when we sent out the LOI, we agreed to that $1.2 million price. And then we did a lot of, obviously, due diligence. We structured this deal in the most basic way possible. You hear a lot of people talking about small business acquisitions, seller financing, all these different ways, liquidity investments, things like that. We did an SBA loan for the full amount. We put 10% down and the rest was all SBA loan. So very simple, 10-year term, 8.99 fixed rate. Our lender is great. They're awesome at US Bank. But anyway, and so when we were doing our due diligence, our CPA basically did a business appraisal, and they always go very low. And I was actually in Miami. Alex is on the phone with our lawyer and we're like, okay, we need to get an updated signed purchase sale agreement if we're going to do this. And our CPA said it's worth like $675,000. It was listed at 1.2 because the CPA is always just really lowball it. Alex, I don't know, let's just put it in the middle. So we offered or we countered with 925K and the seller said yes. And it was, as we're both salespeople, we really wish we could have a cooler story about how we negotiated it down by 25%.
That is a cool story.
Yeah, but we don't. It's just we asked for it to be cheaper and he said yes. And I think Alex and I are learning to be braver about what we're asking for too, because we've had a few other instances about that. But yeah, that's how we got there at the 925K.
So Alex, when at the 925K, walk us through, Carly just mentioned CPA, lawyers. Who are the people that you need to bring on your team once you get under contract on a business? What are the professional services that you need to bring on like that? How'd you go about it? And when you're having this conversation, how did y'all structure that outreach to the broker? Was it just, hey, this is what we saw and we want this? Or because the phrasing of things is important. So those two questions. One is, who do you need on your team once you get under contract? And two, how did y'all position the counteroffer?
Yeah, the number one biggest player on our team was by far our lawyer. And she is a small business lawyer. Like, she doesn't do all the real estate or do other stuff. She's like strictly a small business lawyer. And I got her through networking with people that I know that he was actually outside of Action Academy, but light bulb clicked off. I was like, shoot, I know.
People exist outside of Action Academy?
But I was like, I need to reach out to him. He's got to have a lawyer. He's acquired three businesses. I was like, I need to reach out to him and see who his lawyer is. Immediate text back. She's awesome. One of the best lawyers I've ever talked to. And she's been like absolutely phenomenal for Carly and I, just in advising us, whether it's language, like literally anything. So I would say having a very good lawyer is very important, because also if you have a bad lawyer, you still need them and those calls suck. So just find a good lawyer. Interview people. Make sure you like them. CPA was needed. It was more needed just for the appraisal of the business and honestly, the due diligence period. We didn't have necessarily a CPA on our team. We do now, and it's actually a different CPA, but you pay them and they do the due diligence and they do it. They did it super clean, but you have to do that. You don't want to do it yourself, especially your first time, because you'll miss something. So
yeah, you obviously want to make
that forensic appraisal. Good forensic at CPA to make sure, because especially like in blue collar businesses, there's the bank of the blue jeans, because it's very easy, because I could speak as a business owner, it's very easy to have this expense be something, but that's not actually business critical. That was actually a personal expense. You know what I mean? And yeah, it's very good to do that. Go on, Alex.
The only other one I would add to that of people to have on your team is if you're going to need an SBA lender, that's got to be like, if you're even thinking about putting an LOI out on a deal, SBA took longer than we thought, and it came down to the wire, but our SBA lender was great. And even having them look at the numbers and be like, we'll be able to fund this no problem, that's just a weight off your shoulders from the beginning. And then working with them throughout that process, honestly, they did so much for us when it comes to all of the stuff you have to do to get an SBA loan. There's 100 question checklists, and they just held our hand, walked us through it, and they were awesome. So if you're going to need an SBA loan, I would make those connections sooner than later.
So Carly, say that I am looking to buy a business. I'm working this six-figure job. I join Action Academy and I'm like, okay, I know this is something that I'm going to want to do in the next 6 months. Sounds like step one, get approval from an SBA, get pre-approval from an SBA lender. Is that correct? And how did you guys go about that process? What does that look like?
We, once again, it was networking, right? So James Richardson, the Biz by Brit, we reached out to him and asked who he
was. It was an Action Academy. This one we got.
There you go. There you go.
We're back, baby. It feels good to be back. Yep.
Yeah, we're going to cut Alex's clip. But so he sent us actually over to US Bank, and Tyler and Amber there. Alex is already giving a thumbs down. But he sent it over to them and they were great. They look at basically the previous year's tax returns and do their own debt to service coverage ratio, right? That's the net income divided by how much the debt or the SBA loan would cost per year. And if you have a high enough debt to service coverage ratio, or DSCRs as we call it, then they'll give you like a pre-approval. And then once you have that and you work through your LOI, then you can start the actual underwriting that the SBA loan process needs to take. And that takes about a month. And then the closing process takes about a month. And then you can actually close and sign all your documents and own a business.
Yeah. And an important thing to note, and we'll throw this to Alex, is it's different than if you're getting pre-approval to buy a house. Because for a house, they're looking at your credit score, they're looking at your own personal stuff, whereas the DSCR and the SBA loans, that's going to be on the asset itself, deal-by-deal basis. Correct, Alex?
Yeah, correct. It's really, they're looking at the numbers of the business, and that's how they're going to determine if they can fund it or not. So yeah, they might check your revenue a little later, just to make sure. I think we sent them one bank statement, and they were like, yeah, cool. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So for people listening, the main thing that they're going to look at, to put it as simply as humanly possible, is when you're taking the debt service of that business, where it's basically like you're paying that owner back on seller finance, or you're paying whatever the owner was paying, and you're assuming that loan every single month as you're making that payment, how does the revenue cover that? And that's called the debt service coverage. So they, like, normally a good one, especially in small business, would be like maybe a 1.7 to 1.9 would be a good deal. And you guys having a 3.0, like, that was like a wet dream for that SBA lender.
It was also a wet dream for us.
Yeah. I know, everybody was dreaming and having a great time. But sweet. Carly, any other numbers that y'all want to go down into for the business, or maybe different sources of revenue for that 925 for the home services one, the home inspection? What are the main pieces of revenue that you are looking at, the main buckets? And then what are the main areas that you guys are looking to improve it? And then what are your kind of target projections over the next couple of years?
Yeah, definitely our main stream of revenue there is home inspections. Shocking. Right now, I can pull up the calendar. I have the calendar pulled up for our said home inspections. Since we've owned the business Wednesday afternoon, we've had, I think it's 8 home inspections, and they all average from $500 to $1,000. And so we're also averaging about like 60% profit margins. So if it's a $500 home inspection, we're making over $300 from it. So having those high ratios are also great. Where we're seeing the growth is we just need to hire. Mm-hmm. We've had to tell realtors or real estate agents in the last day that, hey, sorry, we can't do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week or the following week because we're already booked out that far. Alex and I need to hire more inspectors and get them up and running so we can continue to grow. This market currently is in Knoxville and the Chattanooga area. So we're wanting to expand and do more in Chattanooga area. And then Alex and I both live in Nashville. So it's a very easy transition for us to start hiring some inspectors into the Nashville area. And this company is a little different because all of the home inspectors are actually contractors. So they're all 1099s. So what's great for us is the more we hire, we're not hurting our profit margins because they just get paid a certain percentage of each of the home inspections they do. So really, it's just more money in our pocket. We're not losing any. So if a new home inspector does 5 extra inspections, it's not like we're losing a $50,000 salary to this new guy. It's, hey, we're gaining an extra $300 for every home inspection you do. So that's great. Our projections are probably, we're very conservative, but I think honestly, in 2 to 3 years, we could probably double this business. And I think we can do much better than that, but it's very exciting.
Probably more, especially moving to Nashville. The beauty of the business too is that there's investments already made where they have a call center that takes in all the calls and they schedule all of the inspectors. Like they schedule everything on a week-to-week basis. We can have the personal relationships and schedule them ourselves if we want, but which is awesome. That's how we're going to grow it, by Carly and I going to real estate meetups, meeting new realtors in those areas, Chattanooga, Knoxville, Nashville, wherever else in Tennessee we want to take it, honestly. But yeah, it's a pretty simple business that's just a cash cow.
The reason I love this and the reason I wanted to hit on this is twofold. The first is because you can explain this business to my grandmother.
Yeah.
Like, you could go to my Nana and say, hey, like, we do home inspections and we make a lot of money. And she's like, math checks out. Our home's going to sell. Yeah. Yep. Okay, cool. It's a one page business plan. Like everything, if you have a business and the operator or the owner can't explain it to you like in a paragraph, they don't understand their own business and you should run away from it. Yep. And the second thing is, you guys have a very clear bottleneck that you have defined. And that is the best game to play instead of taking guesses and taking swings at, oh, maybe we can increase the website, SEO, all of this. You're like, nope, yeah, we see it. Demand's there. The operations aren't, like, we just need to hire more people. And as we hire more people, like, we immediately get that ROI. And then that, yeah, it's simple. It's like salespeople. When you hire a salesperson, you're like, okay, each salesperson I hire should make me 6 to 7X what their salary is. So hire as many as I can. So I freaking love it. And then that goes into y'all's other one, the franchise one. So that one's just as simple, where you guys are doing the franchise model. You're just going to follow it by the book, open up a couple more units, expand like that, utilize economies of scale, package them all together, and then eventually have a more sellable product in the future because you have multiple locations packaged in. Very simple. My question to you guys is closing day. You guys just went through the closing process.
Yeah.
What happens on closing day where you guys say, oh, yeah, it's been like a day. We already made $3,000. We see all these stuff on the calendar. So you're at the closing table. You sign the documents. What happens after this when you're like receiving all of the different assets? Walk us through that process. We'll start with Alex.
Yeah, closing day itself, we're in Nashville. So the business is actually in Knoxville. And we just walked out of there and we're just like, I guess we're business owners. Like, you don't walk out with a fancy packet or anything. We walked out with what we came in with and we're like, I guess we own a business now. But really, it was just it is like signing for a house. Like, they're explaining the documents to you and you're just signing where you sign.
The owner helping you at all with any like rollover? Are they staying on for 30 days, 60 days, or do they just transfer all the assets immediately?
So he transferred everything. We actually drove to Knoxville yesterday, sat with him all day, and he transferred everything over to us. So like website, domains, the app, like everything that he, some type of physical asset that he had, he transferred over to us, show us how to use it. And we did. In the contract, he stays on for 6 months and he actually agreed to stay on 6 months for free. So just if we need it, I don't think we're going to need it, but it was a nice little catch 22 just in case.
That goes back to building the relationships with the owner as well. Like, he feels good about y'all. He feels good that you're gonna keep his legacy moving forward, and I freaking love it. So in closing, two things. So the first thing we'll do with Carly, what is one piece of advice that you could give yourself from the beginning to help you do something better in the process, or one piece of advice you can give to somebody that's in a corporate job looking to buy a business where you're like, I didn't know this and I wish I did?
I think I wish I would have known when I was in a corporate world, when I slid into your DMs, I think I wish I would have known how many different ways there is to make money And that sounds interesting, but Alex and I both used a HELOC, which is a home equity line of credit, for part of our down payments, right? I had no idea about that, but I got $108,000 in my HELOC from a house that I bought 2.5 years ago. And then to Alex's point, we joined Action Academy because I was the same way, also probably thinking about going into real estate. Of real estate, there's more than one. There's single family, there's midterm rentals, there's long-term rentals, there's Airbnbs, and you have storage units, then you have small business acquisitions. So it's 6 months ago, Carly didn't know about any of this. I'm like, I own my house. I house hack it. I rent it out to my roommates. They pay for my mortgage. I own a Tesla. They rent it out, or people rent it out, pays for my auto loan. And I'm like, cool, life's great. But it's, I've always told myself I wanted to retire by the age of 35. And talking to you, Brian, that wasn't going to happen because I didn't understand how many different ways there was to make wealth. And I think that's something that has really opened my eyes. And then people always ask, okay, so how'd you do it? Alex and I partnered 131 days ago. That's crazy. And we just closed on two businesses. And people are like, so how'd you guys do it so fast? And I think for us is just, we were disciplined. Every day we woke up, we had our, what we wanted to accomplish that day, our KPIs, right? We set out, we reached out to X amount of brokers, we reached out to X amount of deals, we underwrote X amount of deals, et cetera. And because we were disciplined in that, we were able to find good deals, build good relationships, and move the process along. And then, like you say too, if you're disciplined in one aspect of your life, you're going to become disciplined in a lot more aspects of your life. I go to the gym a lot. Shout out to Jack. I actually lift consistently now instead of just play pickleball every day. My life's changed a lot in the last 6 months. So I guess thanks, Brian. I'm not saying this to hype you up all a lot, but I will say thank you to you.
Appreciate it. It means a lot. And also the one thing that I would add to you guys is the unforeseen benefit of what we do. And it doesn't sound sexy like when you're selling somebody on it, but like the real benefit is just that you realize it's possible.
Yeah.
That's it.
Absolutely.
Because you can go into all your KPIs and all the different stuff, but it's just like when I'm in a group chat of people that do $400,000 to $500,000 a month.
Yeah.
And we don't really talk that much about the tactical ways to do it, but just because I'm in that group chat every day, I'm like, of course I would do that. Why wouldn't I do that? They're not smarter than I am. Like, and it sounds so stupid, but like you guys are in the group where we have 300 people. There's over $200-300 million in net worth in that group. And you guys are seeing like every single day, they just did it. Jordan just bought his fourth business. I could buy a freaking business. And it's literally that. So Alex, same question to you. If you could go back, give some advice, what would it be?
Honestly, you just go one foot in front of the other. I think at the beginning, especially the first couple months before me and Carly truly got like in our partnership and in a rhythm, it was just this big, crazy, scary thing. And I'm like, I have no idea how to do this. And I had started looking at like deals and analyzing them, underwriting them, like knowing what's good and what's bad. But it was still like just that big thing hanging over your head. But as we started getting into it and like buying these businesses, you just always have what the next thing is. Like you just know, and it's just one step at a time, and then it all comes together. And I think like just looking at it from the big picture, I was terrified. But then as we started underwriting deals and finding stuff out, it was easy, and it was way less scary than I thought it was the whole time. So I wasted a couple months by looking too wide focused. So
yeah,
if I gave myself advice again, it would just be just start somewhere, start doing it, and you'll figure it out along the way.
Dude, I love everything about this. I'm so freaking proud of y'all. It's going to be super fun to do this at 6 months, 12 months. We'll recap everything. And then this will be like a diary for y'all as well. But the end of the day, it's just like, you guys are about to go on a journey that is so much fun because things are all directly within your control. But I will give you this advice. So when things go right, it's all your team. When things go wrong, it's all you. If you just follow that advice, you will be golden. So it's just like whenever you see even like the quarterback winning the Super Bowl, hey, my offensive line, my team crushed it. My contractors crushed this rehab. Like everyone crushed this. When things are going well, praise your team. When things are going wrong, hey, I fucked up.
Yep.
This is on me. Like it's nobody else's fault. Me as the business owner, we didn't get your inspection on time. That is my fault. I'm supposed to be held accountable. And as you go through it, there's just so many different ways that you can win. And even following y'all's journey, like I've been watching it and saying, like, how can we improve this? How can we make this a better experience for everyone? And that's why we've got Mason now coming in. I'll be asking y'all for y'all's help with the whole head acquisition success and getting people through. But let's close out. Guys, where can people follow you, find out more about you, follow along in your journey? We'll start with Alex, and then we'll go to Carly.
Yep. Instagram's where I'm most active. So Alex_Kemenca, Kemenca.
Perfect. And then Carly.
At Carly Midas, also on Instagram, CarleyMitus. So not the Midas touch, but it sounds like it.
Perfect. And how can people support you? How can people help you? If somebody's listening to this and they're like, okay, these guys and girls are awesome, how can I help them?
I'm actually starting my own Instagram, or I'm starting to post on my Instagram about how I did this in 131 days. I signed up for Seth's social media course, and I'm going to make myself even more uncomfortable and try to help people do the same. So follow along, and we're going to get you guys financially free too.
Boom. Alex, anything that anybody can do?
All right, I'm doing a passion project with my best friend. So we're just going to launch it here. It's launching later this month, but I'm actually starting my own podcast with Tyler Crispin, who's a reality TV guy. But we're using Ace's Podcast House. He's producing the whole thing for us, and I'm super stoked about it. So coming soon, the Wavelength Podcast.
Boom, baby. Let's go. We got a podcast. We got Instagram. Everybody go follow them. All right, we're over on time like I knew we would be. Guys, thank you so much. Freaking love being like involved in this and being along for the ride and forcing you guys to let me buy your dinner for you to celebrate.
Yeah.
So guys, I'm excited for y'all to take off, to crush this. This is what fires me up. I'll let you go back to your day. Yeah.
In all seriousness, though, shout out to you, Brian, because obviously Alex and I would not be connected without Action Academy, and we would not even know where to begin or know where to think about buying a small business without you. So you have created an amazing community. Like you always say, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Action Academy is made of millionaires and brilliant folks. So we wouldn't be here without you. So we really appreciate you, man.
Thank you. Nice. It pisses me off because now I have to DM people. I actually have to go in there and make an effort here. I have to reply to people now. And my God, I have to do all that. No, this is awesome. No, seriously, sometimes it gets overwhelming because I'm like, there's 900 DMs. I'm like, okay, I need to respond to these because it could be the next Alex. It could be the next Carly that's buried in here. And then I go respond. I'm like, okay, what is your story? What's going on? And it's freaking awesome. Guys, thank you so much for coming on. This has been Brian, Alex, and Carly with the Action Academy Podcast, signing off. Hey, real quick, if you're still listening to today's episode, I'm assuming you got value from it. So I need your help specifically. My 2-year vision with this show is to help over 1 million people do what they want, when they want, with who they want. And I can only do that with your help. There are two main ways that a podcast grows. One is through ratings and reviews, and the other is word of mouth. If you could please leave me a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as send this to 1 or 2 friends that you think would get value from it, we can reach the people that we're looking to reach. Thanks in advance. Talk tomorrow.